How's everybody this morning? Is it, it turned winter on us, huh? Got cold out there. Glad that you're here. Are you ready to worship?
Amen.
Do you want the presence of the Holy Spirit with us this morning?
Amen.
All right, let's invite him. Father, we lift high the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name. There's salvation is found in no one else but you. Would you send your Holy Spirit to this place? Would you stir us, inhabit our praises? Change us, oh God. We exalt your holy name. We pray that you'd be right here in our midst. We pray also that you would be in the homes of everyone that is worshiping with live stream this morning. Father, you, time and space do not bind you. Would you be high and lifted up in the precious name of Jesus? Amen. Rise if you're able as we worship.
Glory. I've got bad knees, so I don't dance. But hey, it's good to celebrate the goodness of the Lord. Amen. You know, I can't wait to get to heaven. Today would be a good day for Jesus to take me home. Not that I, you know, want to get out of here, but man, looking forward to the day we can rejoice about the promise that we have that Jesus went and prepared a place for us. Amen. Amen. Shout of praise on three. Can we do that? Hang on three. Follow directions. On three. One, two, three. Hey, amen. Please be seated.
I had no idea we had rules with our shouting, Billy. Thanks. All right, so I want to invite Michael Wilkins to come up. Michael, somewhere. Michael accepted Christ and was baptized 2 weeks ago. Yeah. Woohoo! And yep, they got married the week before that, right? Yeah. It's been a big couple of weeks. And today, Michael comes to join our church officially. We're excited about that. Yeah. The Lord is active in your life, Michael. And we already know that you, from a couple of weeks ago, that the Lord is your Savior. But is Jesus still, has anything changed in the last 2 weeks?
A little bit.
Yeah. good stuff changing. Oh, yeah. Jesus is still your Lord and Savior.
Yes, sir.
Will you be loyal to this church with your prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness? Amen. We welcome you, buddy.
Thanks, sir.
How about you, church? Do you promise the same thing? Do you renew your vows this morning? Yeah. Amen. Amen. You guys be seated. Make sure Michael gets greeted before he leaves today. Children, come down and meet Miss Carlene.
Now, there I am. Hey guys, how are y'all this morning? Are y'all excited to be here today? Yes, well, I am excited to be here with you, and I am excited to see every one of your beautiful, smiling faces. Everybody give me a big smile. All right, well, good. So, you're going to do something for me this morning. Everybody show me your muscles. Show your muscles. Everybody got muscles? Yeah, look at that muscles. You got muscles? Yeah, so here's the next question. Do you think you're really strong? Yeah? You think you're really strong? All right, so do you know that we have muscles all in our body, right? And muscles help us to do everything we need to do, right? We have about 650 muscles in our bodies, okay? And so did you know that when you just walking up here to the children's message time, you use 200 different muscles just to walk up here? Wow, that's a lot, isn't it? It takes a lot for us to walk and get where we're going, right? So are muscles important? Okay, in just a minute. Okay, Grayson. Okay. Are muscles important for us to have? Yeah. Do they need to be strong?
Yes.
Yes? Or do we want weak muscles?
Strong.
That's right. So I did a search and I Googled this, and it says if you will exercise 10 minutes a day, not a whole lot, your body will become stronger. 10 minutes a day. Is that a lot to exercise?
Oh, yeah.
It is? You think it's a lot? So, do you think y'all could exercise for 10 minutes a day?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, you exercise all day long. You do different things. You maybe run and you play and you jump and you maybe climb on things. Those are exercises, right? And they're making you stronger. So our question is, we need to be strong with our muscles, right? But did you know that we need to be strong with our faith muscles? Did you know what faith muscles are? What does the word faith mean? Okay, Isaac?
Not real?
Faith, okay. Faith is believing that God loves us. Faith is believing that His word is true. Faith is just walking out your life every day with the Lord, right? So do you know you need muscles for that? Huh? Have you ever thought about that? Yeah, never thought about that, right? So, you know, but how do we get faith muscles? How do we grow in our faith? How do we grow in our faith? What are some things that we can do?
Eat vegetables,
okay. All right. But how can we grow in our faith with the Lord? Yes.
We
pray and we read the Bible. We come to church, right? And we obey and we love Him. And we tell others about Him. And every time we do one of those, our faith is growing and we're getting stronger. So do y'all want good faith muscles, strong faith muscles, so that you can go out and share Jesus with others? Yes, that's right. So when our faith muscles are strong every day, it's easier for us to obey, right? So you got to keep working out. You can't just stop, right? So do you think you can, it's just like working out every day. You need to work out with Jesus every day. Have you ever thought about that? Work out with Jesus every day? So, but guess what happens if we don't work out? If we don't do our exercises every day, what happens to our bodies? You get weak. That's right. So if we don't work out with God, what happens to that? What? We don't have faith. That's right. We don't really remember who Jesus is. We don't think about Him. We don't obey Him. We don't love Him. So do we need to have strong faith in Jesus and God and obey Him? Yeah. So every day we need to keep working out, not just these muscles, but our faith muscles here and here, so that we can walk in God's love and obedience. It says, the Lord searches all the earth for people who have given themselves completely to Him. He wants to make them strong. So do we want to be weak or strong in Jesus? Strong. That's right. Okay, everybody show me your muscles. One more time. All right. So this week, will you try to remember to maybe exercise 10 minutes a day? Not just work out like getting your body strong, but helping your body study God's word. And grow in your strong faith muscles. Okay, can y'all do that?
Yeah.
All right, let's say a prayer. Dearly Father, I thank you for this day. Thank you for these boys and girls that are here today, and just bless our time, and just bless us this week as we go out, as we go out into this world, Lord, that we will just continue to be a light for you, and we will walk in your love and your obedience, Lord. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Let's go.
You know, that used to be my kid every Sunday that you could hear from across the church. But it's cool. Moved on, I guess, which is great. But good morning, church. Glad that all of you are here this morning to join us in worship. But we are especially grateful for one particular person. Michael Summers is back with us after a six-month deployment. And so he got back this week. So thank you for your service. And we're glad that you're back home with your family, and it's awesome to have those moments. Will you stand with me as we recite the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy universal church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. So just one other announcement real quick, as it is coming up faster and faster. We do have a quick video about the Men's Summit that we've been announcing for the past month and a half or so. And so we have a quick video on that, and then David Batiz is going to come up and say a quick word about that.
How about that, Mama?
Night, my little forest. आजो अंदर यहां कर बैठो
आप मर क्यों रही हैं मामा
मेरा समय आ गया है बस मेरा वक्त आ गया है अरे नहीं नहीं तुम डरो नहीं स्वीटहार्ट मौत भी जिंदगी का एक हिस्सा है ये हम सबके भाग्य में लिखी होती है मुझे पता नहीं था मेरे भाग्य में तुम्हारी मामा बनना था और मैंने इसे निभाया भी
आपने बहुत अच्छा किया मामा
खैर
I want to thank Pastor Jeff for permission to laugh in church. The Men's Summit's been going on for a couple of years now, and it's growing. We partnered up with Wiley and Mount Zion Baptist to put it on this year, and we're hoping that it continues to grow. And just like Mother Gump was encouraging Forrest, ladies, I know that men are the head of the house, and that's not an easy job, but women are the neck. So if the man in your life has been teetering on the fence as to whether or not to sign up, please encourage him, give him that gentle shove, and let's get him off the fence. There's a couple of important dates coming up. The last day to sign up for the summit is the 8th, but I would ask that we please don't wait so long. There's other details like ordering T-shirts and things, that the cutoff for that is the end of this month. I also wanted to say that the summit is open to men 16 years of age and older, so I invite fathers and sons. Sons invite your dads invite your sons, and spend some time. It's 2 days, Friday evening through Saturday evening. You'll be out away from home 24 hours. There is a cost, but if that's a problem, there's scholarships available. So, and I even think we're gonna be running vans, so even transportation. The invitation is open, and I hope you all join me at the summit. Thank you.
And as I said in the first service, if you have an allergy to shrimp, we might have something else for you. I'm not sure. But with that being said, as we move into prayer time this morning, I was joking that I typically come in with an idea about where we're supposed to go in prayer, and then Carlene will, or Teresa will do their children's sermon, and then I'm like, well, nope, that's where we're supposed to go instead. And so that happened this morning in early service when she was talking about the muscles of the body. And it didn't happen as much in the second service, but there were a lot of wow, ooh, wow, in the early service when she was talking about the muscles and how it took 200 muscles just to walk up here and sit down. And the kids were just kind of amazed by that. And it always makes me smile when you see a kid in wonder, when you see a kid in amazement. And so it was one of those things that kind of made me change my focus this morning, because when I think of wow and wonder and amazement, I often lead back to Psalm 139, verse 13 through 16. And I'm going to read that for you. For it was you who created my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise you because I have been remarkably and wondrously made. Your works are wondrous, and I know this very well. My bones were not hidden from you when I was made in secret, when I was formed in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw me when I was formless. All my days were written in your book and planned before a single one of them began. I don't know about you, church, but that is one of the verses in the Bible that continuously makes me go, wow, whoa. Just crazy to think that the God of the universe is so expansively creative that he created everything that we know, but so intimately as well, that he created each and every one of us unique to our own personalities, our own traits, our own characteristics, and that we can genuinely say that there is no one on earth like you. That is astounding. And so that is my prayer focus this morning. We're just going to praise God for how awesome he is. Amen. So will you join me in prayer? God, we thank you for today. We thank you for just being able to be in this place once again. God, we thank you for this body of believers that you have ordained and put together. We thank you for your hand and everybody being here. We thank you for your hand being a part of this church. And God, you are genuinely beyond anything we could ever hope for. You are beyond anything that we could ever begin to imagine. God, you are just so, so good to us. Even in the darkness, even in fires, even in triumphs and tragedies, you are good. And God, we just thank you for the fact that we can hold fast and trust on that promise, the promise that we, our lives, our hands, are better in yours. So we just pray that you use this church. We pray that you use us as we feel your love and your spirit in this church. And I just pray that it begins to ooze even more out into the community around us. Allow us to be the ones, allow this church to be the spark that begins to move your love and your spirit into this community even more than it is already. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for dying for us. God, we thank you for what that means, that we can live today, we can live tomorrow, knowing that we have a future, we have a hope, and we have a purpose. We just thank you for the instructions that you gave us. We thank you for the teaching that you gave your disciples. And God, we just join together and pray with a simple prayer that you taught us through your disciples that has such a powerful impact and meaning. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we move into this next worship set, just a reminder, we do have offering boxes at both doors. As you exit, you can put your tithe or offering in those. You can also give online or through the app by following on the screen.
Thank you.
an amen on that, church?
Amen.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord.
So is the Holy Spirit welcome here, church? Is he welcome here? Glad that you are all with us this morning. If you are our guest today, we are extremely glad that you're here. Hope you feel that Holy Spirit. Hope you feel the love of his people in this place. There is a card in the seat pocket in front of you. It has a blue stripe. It says guest registration. Would love for you to fill that out. You do not have to do that, but would love to get to know you. At the end of the service, I'll be out at this end of the foyer and have a free gift for our guests, and would love to meet you. Also, I asked permission to introduce these guys, but I did not ask permission for what I'm getting ready to do. But the Lord works in mysterious ways, and they're going come on up, guys. You four guys, come on up. Up here. I want to introduce you to these four guys. They're very shy. They're all preachers. All right, so Mike Schaefer is our new president pro tem for our new West Plains GMC conference. Yes. Rich Jones is what used to be called DS. He's now presiding elder for the east section of our conference, which will be us, so be nice to Rich, okay? Darren Skinner will be the north presiding elder, and Les Hall will be the west presiding elder. Go down there and join them, Mike. So here's the... I want to say this. I want to pray over you guys. I just felt led by the Spirit to do that. But before I pray for you, I want to say this. You've heard me talk about the new West Plains GMC conference and how excited I am about what's going on. These four guys right here are one of the big reasons why I'm excited about it. Because I trust these guys. I trust these guys. And everyone who's been involved in the leadership is Kitten here. She was in the early service, I think. Everyone who's been involved in leading this thing, I trust, and I'm excited about our future. And as Mike has, I'm probably stealing a little of your thunder from the conference this weekend, but Mike mentioned that we're not starting a denomination. That sounds so institutional. It's a movement. You know, John Wesley didn't start a denomination. He started a movement. And so I'm excited about that. So if you guys, would y'all come in the center? Anybody that wants to come, I'm going to pray over them. If you want to come lay hands on them, we want to just anoint them as they begin to lead our new conference. All right, let's pray. Father, we're excited because you are good and because you love us And you've placed men and women in the leadership of this new movement, God, that excites us because it's all about Jesus. And so, Lord, I pray an anointing on these four men as they lead, that they would be empowered with wise decisions, deep integrity, God, that they would be reflections of you, Jesus, as they lead. Lord, we confess to you that we don't have the answers, none of us. We don't have the answers and we don't have the wisdom that it takes, but we have you. And so, Lord, would you empower these guys and all who lead, and would you bless us that we might be a blessing to the world and to this conference. Father, we trust you. We trust the future to you. In Jesus' name, amen. That'll teach you guys to visit Wiley Methodist Church. All right, Marv, go sit down. Marv's an old retired United Methodist pastor as well. So, all right, turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Now, the author of Hebrews has been talking about Jesus being our high priest. And so we pick it up at verse 11 in chapter 5. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. Anybody ever been slow to learn? In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. In other words, they'd had a round of it. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use, I'll say that again, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Do we need that, church? Chapter 6. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity. Let's pray. Father, we invite your Holy Spirit not just to be here, but to speak. No one needs to hear anything from me. We need to hear from you. So Holy Spirit, would you come and would you speak in power and authority and transform our hearts? In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm continuing the sermon series, Authentic Christianity. Hey, David, what's up?
I didn't mean to interrupt. I wanted to go get a donut.
Well, you know where the donuts are. What you got there, man?
Oh, I got my milk. I'm going to wash it down with some milk.
Is that a baby bottle?
Yes. It's worked for me for a good long time.
you still drinking out of a baby bottle?
Yes, sir.
That doesn't embarrass you?
No, sir.
At all? No?
Old reliable.
Old reliable. All right, well, the donuts are right through. There's some coffee in there. You might think about a coffee. That's a man's drink.
I'm not going to change my ways. Thank you, though.
Okay, yeah, the donuts are right through there. Give it up for my volunteer. So, as I said, we are continuing the sermon series, Authentic Christianity. Now, so the question is, what does an authentic Christian look like? And remember, I say this every time, and this is the third week in this series, this is not to critique others, this is to examine ourselves. Today's message is a Christian matures. A Christian matures. We're on this journey. That would be somewhat embarrassing, wouldn't it? If you're walking through Walmart and you see some grown person walking around with a baby bottle, You ever see? Occasionally you see a child that's, you're kind of like, it's probably time to be off the bottle there. Mom, help him out there. But there's something that as we mature, that we no longer drink from a baby bottle. We move to the, you know, to the, what?
He wants his bottle.
Yeah. We might move from a baby bottle to a sippy cup, and then ultimately, if we're brave enough, you know, we'd go to an open cup. So it's the same way spiritually. So how are we, where are we spiritually? Are we still with a baby bottle spiritually? You know, I'll see people that have known Christ for a very short time that have more spiritual maturity than someone that's been a Christian their whole life. You ever see that? All right, let's just dive right in. We're going to make some observations about this topic, about this scripture today. First of all, an authentic Christian knows salvation is not the finish line, it's the starting gate. You know, so many times we have this vision in our mind that it's all about coming to a place where we accept Christ and we're saved. And so, Michael, where's you at, Michael? Michael knows, we've talked. Michael knows that 2 weeks ago when he was baptized, that was not the finish line, right, brother? He's back there making notes in his Bible. It's not the finish line, it's the starting gate. Listen to the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians. When I was a child, and he's not talking about physically a child, he's talking about spiritually. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, and I reasoned like a child. So spiritually, where are we? Are we still talking and reasoning like a child? And then he says, but when I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. This passage we read today, solid food is for the mature, who by constant use, and he's talking about this process that Wesley called it sanctification, this ongoing process of refining us, maturing us, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity. So we're talking this, you can see the movement, the going on to maturity by constant use. And this maturity helps us to distinguish good from evil. I had not planned on putting this in today, but it came out in the early service, and I think I'm supposed to say it again. You've heard me talk about this, our culture, the world that we're in right now. It's like sometimes my brain just wants to explode. It's like I read articles and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. We're even talking about this. We're even asking these questions. It just boggles the mind. This an example. This just in the last couple of days, I read an article. I'm looking around to see if there's any children that this might be, maybe not. I don't think so. This is, you know, it's kind of awkward to talk about this, but I think we need to talk about it. This article said it was an app that you put on your phone, and it was for menstruating women. And the app was for women who were struggling with, you know, with a lot of pain or had questions, whatever. They could go to this app and they could have dialogue with other women about this topic. And this app began to allow biological men who identified as women on the app. And it was offending some of the people. In a podcast, a Christian podcast person made note of this and was saying, this is really kind of ridiculous that these women, this is a private space for these women to be able to talk about things, about personal things, and they're allowing this to happen. And they said this on the podcast, and this is not a direct quote, but it's very close. The people that had the app said this. They said, Our intention is to be a resource for women, menstruating people, regardless of their gender. Do we need to be mature in Christ? Do we need to understand? This is me, church, but in the past I've said we've lost our mind as a culture that we're even talking about these things, but it's demonic. I told Cheryl, I said, that's not just stupid. Nobody's that stupid. Nobody's that stupid to think that. People that say that men and women can get pregnant and there's all this stuff. I'm like, that's demonic. That's not just stupid. It's demonic. We must be equipped by constant use. We must train ourselves through the power of the Holy Spirit. We must be mature in order to distinguish good versus evil. Now more than ever. Salvation is not the finish line, it's the starting gate. Secondly, an authentic Christian knows that trials produce maturity. We don't like that, do we? How many, show of hands, how many have taken really strong leaps of growth in their spiritual journey through when everything was really, really going well? I'm healthy, everybody likes me, I've got plenty of money, I got a good job, everybody I know is healthy, and everything's good. Is that the time that we really press into the Lord? Let's hope that we have enough disciplines in our life where we're still staying strongly connected to the Lord, but really, typically where growth happens, where maturity happens, is through trials. And that's hard. Nobody likes that. But listen, this is God's word, Romans 5. We rejoice in our sufferings. I know everybody's like when something's bad, they're going, woohoo! That's not what it's talking about. We rejoice in our sufferings. Why? Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. And perseverance, character, and character, hope. In other words, it's refining us, it's maturing us. The sufferings is purifying us. James says, consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. Because you know the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that we may be what? Mature and complete, not lacking anything. Y'all, if you've been here for very long, you've heard different times snippets of my testimony here and there. But for me, I was reflecting on my life and when I have grown in the Lord. And it was three primary times in my life that I have had a real surge in my depth with the Lord. The first is Cheryl and I got married really, really young. I grabbed her, snatched her before her brain was fully developed. She was 18, I was 19, and I'm like, hey, I think I'm gonna grab her right now. But so for the first 10 years of our marriage, we didn't have a clue. I know I didn't, and I think Cheryl would say we didn't have a clue about how to be husband and wife, how to be married. And I, quite frankly, I've said this before, but I was self-centered, selfish. And that doesn't bode well for a marriage. And so the 10 years of kind of really just becoming dysfunctional, and we were just kind of going through the motions. By the grace of God, we did not divorce. And then Jesus. Jesus got a hold of Jeff Hatcher. And I think that I became a better husband. I think I became a better man. I think I became a better father. I think I became a better son because of Jesus. But it was that, I mean, we were really probably only by the grace of God did we not divorce, but we were on the brink of that, could have easily gone that way. And God, when God showed me, just like he showed Paul in Romans, what a wretched man I was. What a wretched man I am. And I felt like the Lord embraced me and said, Hatcher, you're a mess. You're a mess, and you are a wretched man. But I love you. I love you, and I died for you. And I really felt the Lord impress upon me, now go home and love your wife like that. how I'm loving you, you go try to love her like that. And there was this series of, you know, probably a couple of years there where there was some healing that had to happen, and I was maturing in the Lord and learning how to be a better husband and all those things. But that was a real moment in my personal life. And then secondly, in 2000, September of 2000, my brother was in the pipeline blast and lost his life in that pipeline blast. And I mean, you're walking along, you're going through your day, and my family had really never had, in my lifetime, had really never had any tragedy. And I'm walking along, and next thing I know, I'm in a hospital room standing over my brother with third-degree burns over 100% of his body. And I said, the last words I said to him was, "Jay, I love you." And that was so, the next season of that, losing Jay was very difficult, but watching my mom and dad lose their son. So you press in, man. None of us, we had nowhere else to turn but Jesus. And so there was that growth that was happening there, and that happened to be also when I was transitioning out of the computer world into ministry. And y'all have heard that story where things were not happening the way I thought they were going to and in the time that I thought they were going to. And just that, we blew through our savings like nothing and couldn't sell our house and all these things, plans that we made, nothing was working out. And I told you before I was even associated with this church, I was running on this sidewalk out here on the golf course, running, which that in and of itself was a sign of God that I was actually running. And I remember scolding God. "God, I trusted you. Where are you?" And I felt him impress upon me, "I'm breaking you because I want you to know that I'm all you got for whatever the future holds, and I'm enough." And so those are the three kind of moments where you drive a stake in the ground in my life where through trials I was maturing. None of those were pleasant, but God was at work. He matures us through trials, even though none of us want to face those trials. But when they come, He's at work, and we can trust Him. And then finally, an authentic Christian knows our maturity brings God glory. Our maturity brings God glory. 1 Peter, "Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Grow up into your salvation. You're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God." Here it is. "That you may declare the praises of Him who brought you out of darkness and into His wonderful light." So he's saying, grow up into your salvation so that you can declare my praises. So people can see you and see, I've walked through this valley, I've walked through this storm, and I've trusted God, and He's been faithful, and you bring glory to God because you trusted Him, because He's at work, He's maturing you. Jesus told the parable of the sower, and I won't go through all of that, but the disciples asked Him to explain that to them, and Luke chapter 8, He is explaining that. Jesus said, "The seed that fell among the thorns," now listen to this, "that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature." So when we come to trials, we're either going to press into God or we're going to run away from God. And it all depends on, do we trust Him? And then Jesus goes on to say, he says, "But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop." What's he talking about, a crop? God's glory. When we endure, when his seed falls on rich and fertile soil and it takes root in our heart and we begin and we trust him and our life reflects it, we bring him glory. Yes? Is this on? So, our maturity brings God glory. And I've used this example before, but it really always comes back to me as I talk about sanctification. The refiners who refine the precious metal. And I actually got online and was reading all about this, and the process is elaborate and crazy. I couldn't remember all of it. But to bring it down to its finest point, they heat the precious metal and the impurities float to the top under immense heat trials. And they float to the top, and then it's called sludge, and they either scrape it off or they pour it off. And then they heat it again, and more comes out, and they either pour it off I don't know if this is true or not, but it has been said that the refiners, when they can look into the metal and see their own reflection, they know it's done. They know it's pure. When he finishes with us, we're going to be in his image, and that's the pursuit that we are in. And it's like we need to try harder, but it's laying yourself on the master's workbench. And it's not go try harder to be good. That's not the answer. We lay ourselves on the master's workbench and we say, Lord, here I am. You ever prayed that? It's a bold prayer. I've prayed it, but not that often. But sometimes it's like, Lord, whatever's in me that doesn't belong there, would you show me? Would you root it out? That's a bold and courageous prayer, because we don't know how he's going to root that out. Ephesians, the mature will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every kind of teaching and by cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. That's the world we're in. If we're grounded in Christ, if we are more like him in his image, we can distinguish the good from the bad. We're not blown here and there by this craziness in our world. In all things, it says, grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. That's if an authentic Christian lays themselves on his table and says, here I am. Go to work on me, Lord. Because I don't know about you, but I know I'm not there. I know he's got work to do on me. I think he has work to do on all of us. If you'll bow your heads. Father, your word also says that because you've began a good work in us, you'll carry it on to completion. Father, give us courage to allow us to lay ourselves on your workbench. Holy Spirit, have your way with us. Mature us. May we bring you glory. Give us courage to face the trials in faith, because we know that you are trustworthy, that you love us. And our circumstances don't prove or disprove that you love us. The cross proves you love us. So Lord, would you have your way with us? We pray it in the precious and holy name of our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Please don't leave this place as we close. Please don't leave this place if you don't know that Jesus I'm talking about. Because he knows you, he loves you, and he wants to mature us. There will be people up front. If you would like some prayer after the service, come and look for the ones with the prayer tags on. I will be out in this foyer. Would love to meet you as well. loves you. In all things, church, grow up into Him who is the head. That is the Christ. Go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you. This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior, and wash me as white as snow, in Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus Himself set the example for us by being baptized Himself, and He encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.